Oh, good. Thank you very much. That's two. Maybe we'll end up like the sanctuary where we'll have too much, and I'll stop. So far, we only have 2 out of 10. Pennies in there and everything. This is beautiful. I should have expected it. Thank you so much. Thank you. You got one or two? Perfect. This is amazing. This will go in the offering. Reminds me of a story. When my wife was 3 years old, her uncle would put a bunch of silver coins in his hand. 50-cent pieces, silver dollars even. And he'd put one ugly penny down at the bottom, and she'd always dig down there and get the penny. And her father would say, no, 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 get the silver coin. She just loved those pennies when she was little. All right, how many of you like to play games? Okay, what kind of games do you like to play? Go ahead, you can say it out loud. What kind of games do you like to play? Huh? Volleyball, that's a fun game. Softball. Golf. Kids, what kind of games do you like? Soccer, oh yeah. Basketball, baseball. Excellent, these are fun games. How many of you have ever played 20 questions? Okay, how many of you have never played 20 questions? Okay, so my wife and I play 20 questions, and on Sabbath, we play Bible 20 questions. When it's not Sabbath, we ask anything, like, I'm thinking of something in the world. Now, if you and I had time, you would say, is it on land? And I'd say yes. But that's only one question. Now you've 19 more questions to go. Then you'd say, is it in Asia? And I'd say, yes. Is it alive? No. And then if we had more time, you'd ask something like, is it really big? Yes. And some of you are ready to guess already. Country, tiger. The China Great Wall. All of those answers are good, but now you're down to only 10 questions because they're not right. It's actually Mount Everest. See? Mount Everest. And some of you might have even guessed the Himalaya Mountains. Who said the Himalaya Mountains? Okay, so you were really close. On Sabbath, we play Bible 20 questions. And since I'm the pastor, I like to find something that my wife can never guess. You know, she's a nurse in the operating room, and she doesn't come up with things that I can't guess. She could come up with an instrument in the operating room, and I have no idea what she's talking about. And I would guess 40 times and still lose. But on Sabbath, I like to find a person that she has never heard of. So she got me back after I've won a couple Sabbath 20 question games. And she came up with something, and I was asking all the best questions. Is it in the New Testament? Yes. Is it alive? Not anymore. No. So I was guessing, maybe it's the cross because it was a tree, it was alive, and it's not. Nope, it's not the cross. Is it the manger? Made of wood? You know. Nope, not the manger. And I was down now 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 questions. 20th question came and went, and I still didn't know, and she won, and I lost. And I said, I give up. What is it? And she said, it's the broom. The broom, I couldn't figure out anywhere in the Old Testament or the New Testament where the word broom is ever mentioned. Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek? What? And so then she turned to this parable. and said, "It's the broom that the woman used to sweep the house to find the coin." And I said, "It doesn't say the word broom there." And she said, "If there's a woman sweeping, there's a broom." So we're going to talk about the broom today. Oh, thank you. If you turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke 15, verse 8 through 10. Luke 15, verse 8 through 10. "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.' Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And there's the broom. So we have a handout, if our deacons could help. It's the little handout now we want to give to you. And if you can read, I want you to have your own copy. They're over there. There they are. Yes, thank you so much. And we'll give one to most everybody. Some of you might have to share if you're over the age of 50. But my wife says hello. We have a grandson. Yeah, and so she's with my son and his wife and my daughter and the grandson, Keldon. And I feel neglected. I'm so happy to announce Keldon as part of our family. So what we have here are a few symbols. All right, now maybe you don't have a pen or a pencil, but in your mind I want you to put it down, okay? We have the woman, a silver coin, a candle, friends, and a broom. Where do you want to start? Which one do you want to think about? All right, let's talk about the friends. That's probably the easiest one. In the Bible, it says, "And when she hath found it," in verse 9, "she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.' Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of" who? "The angels of God, over one sinner that repenteth." So the friends clearly represents the angels. Which would mean then that the woman, instead of in Bible prophecy, representing a church, right? In this parable, it doesn't. In this parable, it represents the Father. Because the Father calls the angels to rejoice with him, right? Just like the woman called the angels, or the friends, to rejoice with her. So we have the Father looking for a silver coin, and he has a candle. And of course, we know what that means in Psalm 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so the Father uses his word, and he's looking for a lost coin. Now, I threw one down here.
Down in the dirt. That's what Jesus did. He became
We're precious, most valuable to him. Remember, the silver pieces that the woman lost weren't quarters. They were her wedding dowry. It's like a woman looking for her wedding ring and her insurance policy at the same time. It was so valuable to her. In fact, one piece was like a year's salary. If her husband would die, then she could use that to live on for a year. And she had 10 years then, insurance policy, see? Are you precious to the Lord? But I'd like to suggest that this broom has another symbol, and that's you and me. And you see this bristle right here? That's me. And here's the praise team. See how you're all together? And here's the children's choir. And here's the Bible study groups. And you can name all the different groups. What would happen if we started trimming someone out? Imagine a broom that looks like that instead of this, okay? If I could fend it over. What would you do with a broom at home that looked like that? You'd replace it, you'd throw it away and get another one. And so God wants us, watch, he wants us to be bound together in the church, in love, but then like Christ, not hang on the wall, but be down, looking for lost people. And so, if you will, pray. You know, the disciples didn't ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to heal, teach us to preach. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so I want you to write there in your own mind, put every quote you know about the importance of praying, because we'll never find a lost person without praying. And it's only the Holy Spirit binding us together in the hands of the Father, looking diligently. Who's really looking? Are we? No, it's the Father who's looking. He's using us. If we provide the instruments, he will do the work. He'll do the housework. Okay, so pray. Also, it says meet. So we eat. How many meals do you eat a week? I go 3 times 7 is 21. And why can't we dedicate one of the 21 meals to eating with someone who doesn't believe in God? And, you know, that might mean taking them to Taco Bell or Olive Garden, you know, depending on your friend. But commit one meal a week to eating with them. And when you eat with them, what's the first thing you do? When you pray before the meal. Then you get to the meal, what does it say there? Eat, and then what? Listen. 2 ears, one mouth. So ask the questions, the genuine love to listen to. Bless them. Today, I was walking my dog, Darcy. Where's our time? 2 more minutes, okay? I was walking my dog, Darcy, and there was a guy down there crabbing. We live down near the shore. And the Lord tapped me on the head, and he says, go talk to him. I said, I don't know what to say. Crabs are unclean. I mean, this doesn't seem like the first thing I should say yet, you know? So I said, what should I say? So the Lord gave me the words after I struck up a friendship with him. I said, hey, I'm a pastor. Is there anything you want me to pray about? And he wanted prayer so bad. And so I prayed for his son and his father and his mother and his ex-wife. And afterward, he says, that is so good. The alcohol was coming off his breath. But he felt like God had saved him at the end of that prayer. And I believe he did. And so I think blessing someone through prayer, telling stories, celebrating their anniversaries, their birthdays, playing. When it comes to one person in a church like this asked me, what about playing cards with people who don't believe? I says, Uno, yes. Poker, no. Something like that, you know. And so it was understood. And but instead of spending $60, $80 and going to the theater, why don't we invite people home on Saturday nights, make some popcorn and fruit salad, and play some games and listen and bless, and then they'll ask you a question. And then God will give an answer through them to you. And we should practice on the 30-second, 3-minute, and the 30-minute answer. Anyway, okay. So God bless you, kids. Thanks for coming in. Remember, you are very important to God. You're very precious to Him. Look at all these quarters. It's like way more than 10. So can I talk to the rest of you for another 15, 20 minutes? Okay, if you can read, children, youth, please take one of these handouts. The big ones now. Yeah, the big ones right here. If our deacons could pass them out to everybody who's here who can read, give one to the young people first as they're on their way out. And thank you. While that's being passed out, I just want to say we have a quarter. You know how there's two sides to the quarter? Think of it this way. We have community service and the praise team. And then we have over here on this side, we have evangelistic meetings and discipleship classes. But really, the quarter is repenting. Someone who repents. One sinner who repents. That's what brings joy to the Father. And so we're asking then that we be used by God, not just to be one side of the quarter, but to produce the actual repentance through God's gift of repentance. Okay, we're still going to look at this little one first, though, before we look at Caleb's group. I just wanted that to go before anyone left. If you can read the 3-step process of marking your Bible, understand your Bible, and share your Bible. Okay, let's notice this quote here on this little page here. We're still at meeting with people. It says in Desire of Ages, page 152, we are not to renounce social communion. We should not seclude ourselves from others. In order to reach all classes, we must, what? Meet them where they are. They will seldom seek us of their own accord. So we had an evangelistic meeting a year and 4 months ago down in Cape May at the college. It was so exciting to rent this auditorium at the college, community college, that seats 100 people, a huge 50-foot screen, and to talk about Jesus and prophecy. And this one man kept coming every night, and I got to know him as a friend, and he said that he is an engineer at the power plant in Vineland. He's actually in charge of the 3 power plants in Vineland, and he runs the jet engine generators that produce the electricity for all over. And I invited him, and he invited me different times to go out to eat. And I'm not so concerned right now about him being baptized. I'm concerned about me doing my job, because the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved, right? So I felt like sometimes in my ministry there was too much pressure to get someone baptized, when that's really God's job. Not that I shouldn't exercise persuasion and prayer and love, and you know what I mean, convincing and studying and things like that, but in the end, it's really God's job. So this is my where I can put my energy. I can eat a meal with him and listen and bless. And so we go out to eat a couple times a month. And he's been sharing his life, and I've been sharing my life with him. And that's something that we're called to do, to be part of the broom. How easy is that? He showed me all the good Italian restaurants in Vineland. I never knew were there. But more important than good food, it's that God and me and John Miller are having a conversation. And you know, he's coming to prayer meeting in Bridgeton every Wednesday night. And so he has this book. When I gave you this little booklet, Caleb's group. And you should see him marking his Bible. It is just a joy to see that happen. So the third thing is then to read. You see on this little paper again where it says read, like small groups, Bible readings, Caleb's group. There are many who need the ministration of loving Christian hearts. Many have gone down to ruin who might have been saved if their neighbors, common men and women, had put forth what? Personal effort for them. By the way, when we go out to eat, we go Dutch. You know, he pays for his meal every week. I pay for my meal every week. Sometimes the check comes at once, you know, and so then we just divide it. But it's just real to befriend with someone who hasn't been baptized yet, who doesn't belong to any church yet, but belongs to God. Because God's holding the broom, I can't help but meet with him. Then it says, put forth personal effort for them. Many are waiting to be personally addressed in the very family, the neighborhood, the town, okay, the school bus, the locker, at the locker. Anybody here still in high school? How many? Did everybody leave that's in high school? Okay, we'll get the word out. This also includes high school kids. Put forth personal effort. Many are waiting to be personally addressed in the very family, the neighborhood, the town, where we live. There is work for us to do as missionaries for Christ. I'm thinking, too, that we should know the 30-second Bible study, the 3-minute Bible study, and the 30-minute Bible study. This will help us to mark our Bible and understand our Bible for any of those three. And if you really want to have someone who's hungry to study more than 30 minutes and they want more, of course, then you can just elaborate and get more verses and go from there. So one person wants to know about the heavenly sanctuary and the cleansing of the sanctuary, but they don't have a lot of knowledge. And someone else is wanting to teach them, but they don't have the gift of teaching. And so I'd suggest that we don't want just teachers reading the Bible. If you can read, read the scripture with your friends. So the 2300 days, the cleansing of the sanctuary, here's, ready? Put the stopwatch on, 30 seconds. How do you teach the cleansing of the sanctuary without looking up a verse to someone who wants to hear a story and isn't ready to open the Bible yet? Okay, here's how I go. God takes your mess out of your tent and puts it into his tent so that your life can be clean. And then he takes our mess that's in his tent and he puts it on the devil in the wilderness. And so that's 30 seconds. And they get it. It's like, oh, I get it. That's really simple. See? And if you want the 3 to 5 minute version, then I'd like this story of my dog named Mr. Darcy. And we go down to the bay, and when we go to the bay, he gets in the mud. He loves to go off the road. Of course, I let him off the leash. And he goes down where there's nobody around. We have a half a mile causeway, dirt road that we walk, and he goes over into the mud, jumps into the little creeks where the tide is either high or low. And if the tide is low, he is getting in the mud. Really serious. And at the end, I put him in the back of my dirty pickup truck and bring him home. And then I take the leash and I hook it up to a nail and I get the hose and I gently talk to him and I rinse off Mr. Darcy. But the job isn't done yet because he's still got that residue in him. So I bring him into the most holy place in my house. The bathroom is the most holy place. The bathtub is the ark, because that's where I put him. And that's where I wash him. And once he is clean with shampoo, how many of you ever had a dog that you washed in the bathtub? Most of you. Okay. Now, when the dog is clean and then dried off and sitting in the room happy, right, your job is only what? One-third done. Then you got to go back and do what? Cleanse the sanctuary. See? You got to clean the bathroom. And once the bathroom is clean, your job is two-thirds done. Because then what? You got to take a shower. And that's when Jesus takes all the sins and puts them on the scapegoat. So that was about 4 or 5 minutes, right? We didn't really look up a verse. And we need to know the verses. And we should be able to share the verses. But if someone's not ready to go through all 30 minutes of the verses, can't you tell the story about your dog coming into the most holy place and you doing it in one-third, two-thirds, three-thirds? That's it. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much. He's willing to get down on his knees and scrub us. And we're sitting there, I don't like this very much. I don't like this. Isn't that how we are? You know, everyone has their own brand of sin, and we love our brand. And we criticize others' brand. And yet Jesus took all the brands of sin upon himself to scrub us clean, and to make us pure and white. And then he sets us out. Where? I put Darcy, my dog, on the couch. After he's clean, he's on the couch. My wife likes that too. She's okay with that, as long as I clean the bathroom after him. And doesn't it say that Jesus takes us and he has us sit on his throne, even as he also overcame, sat down with his Father on his throne. What an amazing love. Anybody like chocolate pudding? Okay, do you like chocolate pudding that's good or so good? Both. Okay, which one would you prefer? All of us want the so good kind, right? And what does John 3:16 say? For God loved the world. For God so loved the world. What kind of love do you want from the Father? The love that's good or the love that's so good? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Oh, and now how much time do I have? You end at 12:30? And you guys are going to another church for praise team? Did you want to get on the road early, have your lunch sooner? You have time. Won't you? It's... Well, let's look at a verse or two in Romans chapter 5 and Ephesians 2. And you have this. I really believe that God brought this to my attention when I was in college. And I started to mark the Bible and understand it and share it. And I thank God for this. So, look this over. It's kind of self-explanatory. You'd have to read it a little bit, study it out. I'll show you one picture on here while you're turning to Romans chapter 5. But turn to page 3 in your booklet while you're turning to page Romans 5. Okay, so on page 3, you'll see this square. Proverbs 18, verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." So if you will, remember the Great Commission? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We baptize people into the name of the Lord. We don't just use the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we baptize people into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, into His most powerful name. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these three most highest powers of the universe, pledge themselves at your baptism to do everything for your salvation. Can you say praise God? So this is what this square represents to me, the name of the Lord. And that person is brought into the name of the Lord through your prayers, love, reading, eating a meal, listening, blessing. And you see how there's like stones on the tower all the way around? You see number one down there on the bottom? That corresponds to the first Bible study that you mark. The inspiration of the Bible on page 6. And then it goes from there, Daniel 2. And you move along through that progression until you get to the corner post. I worked on a dairy farm when I was in academy. In fact, that's where I met my wife. We milk cows every other weekend. And we had to put those corner posts down really solid because the barbed wire was pulling on both directions. And so you see the first corner post here on this? It's what? The decision for who? A decision for Christ is the first foundational, most important corner post. It has to be grounded down in there because we are not grounded just into the truth of the Sabbath. We are grounded into Jesus Christ, who is Lord of the Sabbath. And then you can progress on through until you get to the second corner post, which is a decision for the Sabbath. If you would, in your imagination, travel to heaven and see our Father, all the holy angels, you would see the most reverent features towards His law and towards His Sabbath. And you know, in the last days when the beast, power, the papacy, and the United States partner up and make an image to the beast, and then a national Sunday law is enforced, the whole world is really going to be tempted to think, maybe it really doesn't matter. And what this Bible teaches us is that the law of God is so sacred that any angel in heaven hearing about going to church on the papal Sabbath would call that the highest treason against our Father in heaven who paid so much for our salvation. And so the Seventh-day Adventist Church is really called into being to take the gospel and the second and third angel's message and proclaim it in all of its glory. So we're at Romans chapter 5. You can go ahead and see that chart later. But decision for a healthful living and decision for baptism and all of that. Maybe we can talk about this afternoon after our fellowship meal. But Romans 5, where do you start when you read the Bible? We talked about the corner post being a decision for Christ. I'd recommend reconciled before justified. And before sanctified, and before glorified. But many of them is not a bad place to start, especially if the Spirit is leading. So, for example, in Romans 5, verse 6 through 10, Romans 5, 6, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We shall be saved from wrath through him. That's a promise, isn't it? And you say, amen. Anybody here a little bit worried or afraid that maybe you're not going to go to heaven, that is a verse you can bank on. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if, when we were what? Enemies. We were what? Reconciled to God by what? The death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The goodness of God leads people to repentance. And I have been convicted more and more that I am not to start with justified and get people to accept Jesus as their personal Savior yet. But to announce that for 6 hours one Friday, God saved them when they were enemies. Before they were born, God saved them by his death in Christ. And then, after that, it blows their mind. You didn't even get me baptized yet, and you say I'm saved? I didn't even say a sinner's prayer, and you're saying I'm saved. Reconciled. I wish I had a big whiteboard, 4x8. I'd put the word up, reconciled. God saved us. When? When Jesus died on the cross. Justified. God saved us when? We accepted him as a personal Savior. Got baptized. Confessed our sin. Sanctified. God saves us. When? Every day. As we consecrate ourselves to him in the morning, making this our first work, and letting his Spirit live in us, and say with David and Jesus, I delight to do thy will. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And glorified, God will save us. You're not looking at the whiteboard, I'm sorry. And God will save us when Jesus comes again. You can sit down with any stranger, and if they're open at all, you can announce the headline. If this is a newspaper, and there are some columns, what does the headline say? God will save you when you get baptized. That's not a news. That's an invitation. Yes, that's right. God has reconciled us. Amen, that's right. And that's good news. To sit down with a stranger and to say that happened one time in Dominican Republic. We were doing an evangelistic meeting. Walking up and down the shanties right there where there was just an alley, had a translator, sat down to a perfect stranger and announced that God saved them. She was like crying. And she came to the meeting, and I had to go back to the United States, and the church and the Holy Spirit took over. I think we can do that and still learn the art of persuading and teaching, reading, and the rest. To me, this is really important because it takes the whole thing. Reconciled, justified, sanctified, glorified, and it keeps it all together. In concluding, I was going to go to Ephesians 2, but our time is gone. To think about the veil in the sanctuary or the ephod of the high priest. It was made of 5 different colors. Anybody know what those are? You had the red, you had the purple, you had the blue, the white, and then gold. And may I suggest that that's these right here. The red. Reconciled by the death of Jesus. The purple. We are justified. When we receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of a king. That's royal purple, isn't it? The blue. All through the Old Testament, especially one verse we can look up later after a meal. It's the sanctification. It's the Ten Commandments. Blue is not in the harlot's dress. In Revelation 18, Babylon, she has red and purple and gold, but she doesn't have no blue at all. Because Babylon does not like the law of God. See? But the people of God have it all intertwined. It is inseparable from one another. We have reconciled and justified and sanctified. And then the white linen, we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The result of being reconciled, justified, sanctified is that now the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Can you say praise God? And the result of that, the Holy Spirit will be poured out in the latter rain and seal us for the gold, glorified. Oh, it's a tapestry that is all woven together with fine work. And here we are, right on the verge of eternity, and God has called us to become a royal priesthood, to show forth the praises of Him who has called the world out of darkness into His marvelous light. What an opportunity for us to sacrifice all, to say, forget the luxury cars, vacation, and houses. I can drive a Honda Civic and put the 20,000 difference into saving people. Or Corolla. God loves us so much. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen. 204. Let's sing together. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Somebody take these quarters and put them in the offering for me, and the dollar bill too. $204. Come Thou long expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in Thee, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born Thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us for now Thy gracious kingdom bring. By Thine own eternal Spirit rule in all our hearts alone. By Thy all-sufficient merit, raise us to Thy glorious throne. Before we pray, I just want to say a little footnote. I've really been blessed by the music today. There's a principle that I go by for music in James. Let it not be earthly, sensual, or devilish. Today, it wasn't earthly, it was heavenly. And it wasn't sensual, it was spiritual. And it wasn't devilish, it was angelic. And the young people were involved and led and leading. I was so blessed, I'm telling you. So, and praise the Lord for this church. May your tribe increase. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful broom here in Wayne. Make a clean sweep by Thy grace. Keep your hands firmly upon this church and find lost people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.